It's the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air, your weekly local sports podcast. And now, here's your hosts, Greg Revels and Tony Stowers.
And we're back with episode 29 of the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air. Basketball kind of winded down for some teams, other teams moving on from district tournament play to regional tournament play this week, and we're going to bring it all to you before we get through. Before we start that, though, we're going to talk about some famous 29s.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Who you got on that list?
Who do I have? My favorite famous 29, I'm going to let Tuttle talk about it later.
Oh, okay.
Because he's a Razorback. But lots of guys on here. Tony, who's your favorite 29?
Of the ones that are on here, I'm going to go with Adrian Beltre.
Okay.
You've got to watch a lot of Rangers games since I've been into Queen, and he's just fun to – yeah, he's a guy that was on the field – and he played well, but it looked like he had a good time while he was playing the game. And I just have a lot of respect for him. I have a lot of respect for Rod Carew as well. That's a different era in baseball. The Tony Gwynns and Rod Carews, George Brett's, the guys who their main objective was to put the ball in play. It's a dead breed. It's not a dying breed. It's a dead breed.
Absolutely. Rod Carew was one of my first heroes in baseball, just the way he went about the game.
Awesome.
There's some good ones on this list.
There are some good ones on there.
Smoltz, if you're a Braves fan. I have a hard time rooting for the Braves the way that they robbed the Pirates of a couple of World Series appearances.
Crime dog. You got the crime dog.
Yep.
Fred McGriff.
He played for the Braves, too.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Yeah. And the Blue Jays, I think.
Yeah, Blue Jays, they won the World Series, I think, didn't they?
Yeah, then you
Joe
go
Carter home run.
You go back to when I watched baseball, Catfish Hunter's a guy that, he was one of the on the A's there.
Yeah.
And as they were winning all those. And then you got Eric Dickerson.
The original NIL guy.
That's right. You're right about that.
Now, he didn't wear 29 in college. He was 19, but that's where he got paid better in college than NFL.
He probably went back to SMU and played again after he got through with college. But hey, all-time rushing leader for a season. Probably could have got beaten out this year. But how many more games did they play than when he ran?
I imagine when Eric Dickerson played, it was probably 14 games.
14. What I was gonna
now
play
it's 17, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So yes. Three more games makes a lot of difference.
It does.
Yeah, but great runner, but Jeff
and
mine. Yeah, I'm waiting on you.
Okay. I told Tony I couldn't believe he didn't have him on here because he's a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. He wore 29 with the Steelers, but for the Razorbacks, he was number 18. And I do believe, we mentioned this before we came on, I think he would have been in the Hall of Fame if he'd had passion for football. But Barry Foster...
Yeah.
He retired after he
Barry
played
Bananas
four,
Foster.
4 or 5 years, I think.
Yeah.
Just,
5
because
years.
Because
he
was a leading rusher in the league.
He was drafted by Chuck Knoll. And I know he and Knoll were constantly into it about his work ethic. And there's no doubt he had the talent.
He led the league in rushing 1 year, I believe.
He sure did. But I think that the Steelers finally gave up on him, and I'm not sure if he caught. He may have caught on 1 year with the Panthers or somebody like that.
I thought he retired. I mean, I thought he kind of – they gave up on him, but I think he had basically quit. But
yeah.
Barry Foster, I mean, great Razorback, number 29 in NFL. Another Razorback that I thought of, and you might correct me if I'm wrong. Big running back when I can't think who I was in the backfield at the time. Broderick Green – I believe wore 29 for the Raiders, like a 260-pound tailback.
Yeah, he was huge.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't remember if he wore 29 or not, but I remember him running, and he didn't run that much because he was actually – there were so many running backs at that time. They had a whole stable full of running backs, but they'd put him in there when they needed short yardage a lot of times.
I'll give Tony another one real quick that I mentioned just because he's a Steeler, and Minka Fitzpatrick.
Well, he's actually 39.
Is he 39?
Yeah, he's 39.
Okay.
Yeah.
I knew there was a 9 involved.
Yeah.
Easy mistake.
I could have went with Bubby Brister, I guess. I think he was 6. So. My bad.
Bubby Brister.
You didn't think he was going to hear that today, did you?
No. That's a name I didn't think I'd ever hear on this podcast, actually. But you know, we've heard a lot of names. But so a lot of famous 29s, but we got to talk about basketball, guys. Lots of basketball going on.
Some, it's getting good now.
Yeah, it's getting good. It's getting serious, isn't
yeah.
it? Yeah, it's a you're into talk about the Leopards to start off with. Leopards and Lady Leopards, no conference tournament in their conference. They just played the regular season out this past week, and Leopards, had split with beat Hope and lost to Magnolia. But man, I'm gonna tell you, they beat Hope like a drum.
They did.
And Tony and I were there, not expecting that.
No, it wouldn't surprise me if we'd won the game. We beat them by 12, I think, here at the Coliseum. But I was surprised by how bad we beat them. Yeah. And it was really never a ball game.
No.
Wow. No. Yeah, 74-26. That's right. That's what we're talking about. Hope right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Leopards won 68-42. Yeah.
Mm, right.
Yeah. But and it was right up against the mercy rule the whole time.
Yeah, it was,
and it's just a dominating performance by the Leopards. Friday night they come out they leading the number one ranked team in 4A, the Magnolia Panthers, at the end of the first quarter. Sam Graham just started off blistering hot.
Had 11 points in the first period.
Yeah, and that's all he had.
Yeah,
because he turned his ankle.
Yeah, he tried to give it a go a little later. And just couldn't do it. And boy, Sam has given the Leopards everything over the last 3 years. And he went out with a great quarter. He had a great first quarter in his final game, but it was hard to watch him have to sit out the last three quarters with an injury.
Yeah, and then of course Rowan Sanchez had a really good game too.
Yeah.
Played really well, but Magnolia eventually, got going and beat the Leopards 77-43. Ended the Leopards season. They're done. Mm-hmm. They're going to baseball, and if I'm not mistaken, they have their benefit game Tuesday.
That's exactly right.
Yeah,
that's exactly
so. Right,
Robert Perez keeps me up to date on that. Oh yeah,
yeah. Well, Robert's a good guy to do that.
Yep.
But it
switches pretty quick.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Yep. You go from, there's a lot of baseball players on that basketball team. You got Rowan Sanchez, you got Sam Graham, you got Connor Shelton.
Jake Martin,
yeah. And so they're going to have to just get after it to get into that transition. But
yep.
Fortunately, they're young,
mm-hmm.
and so they can do that. Yeah, I'd have to think about it for about a month before I even started.
But, how many of them are pitchers?
Well, Connor's a pitcher. Sam Graham pitches.
I was going to say, I knew Graham pitched against us. That's, that's kids that the coach wishes he'd had them throwing some, because it'll take them a while to get those arms in shape throwing the ball.
And Sanchez pitches. That's the thing about Sanchez. He pitches some, but he also plays shortstop.
Yeah, well, he can play anywhere.
Yeah.
He played some outfield last
year. Yeah,
he did. He can play. He can play anywhere.
Yep. Yep, he can. But talked about the Leopards there. Let's talk about the Lady Leopards. Lady Leopards, still, they're 28-1. They beat Hope 74-26, and they beat Magnolia 74-37. And, Tony, neither one of those games close for any period of time. If I recall correctly, I don't think the starters played 10 minutes together.
No, probably not.
Yeah, they may have played more than that, but not,
Coach Burgess does a good job for, till the fourth quarter. So keeping one starter on the floor to keep continuity between, the second team players that are out there. And I think that's a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
It just moves the ball around and things like that. But the starters playing together. Yeah, if they played 10 minutes together, that was a lot.
Yeah.
That's where I was confused. I was hearing we put a bad beating on Hope, and I looked down and saw 74-26, and I was like, yeah. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
They put a bad beating on a lot of people.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, as two things before we move on to what's going to happen this week,
mm-hmm.
I just got to mention Jesse and Shaylen Lyle. Still can't tell them apart. but now sometimes we can't even tell them apart when they're on the court.
Yeah,
with their numbers,
with their
on.
Numbers on,
because their hair kind of gets in the way. Yeah, a little bit, and they move so fast.
Yeah,
I mean, the things they do. You know, I know Tony's described this on the radio as video game moves.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's really what they are.
Yeah.
It's a combination of fast moves and old eyes.
Good. Yeah.
That'll get you every time.
Yeah, you're right about that. You're right about that.
Well, they do things that, you know, you don't see a lot of young men do. Mm-hmm. And I've very rarely in high school girls basketball that I've seen ladies do.
Yeah.
Moves and...
So this straight out of
able to adjust in the air and hang in the air and things like that.
Switch hands, shoot with the other hand.
Yeah. They're straight out of NBA Jam from Super Nintendo.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes you can even see the flames coming off. We're on fire.
But two great girls, and just want to mention real quickly, both of them went over 1,000 points this year, and they were recognized for that after the game Friday night. And congratulations to them.
Who got over 1,000 first?
Who did? Shaylin did.
Shaylin, okay.
Yeah, Shaylin did first, and then Jesse got hers actually Friday night.
Yeah, her 10th point Friday night was her 1,000.
And that's just for the season, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that what y'all?
That's career.
That's career.
It's career?
Yeah, okay. It's career.
Yeah, that's career. And so congratulations to them. And this week, moving on to the regional tournament, Tony and I are going to go get to spend hopefully three beautiful days in Monticello, Arkansas.
Monticello.
Yeah.
Where the rolling vineyards and the
wineries.
The rolling Mississippi will be closer than the vineyards.
We're going to take our fishing poles and go over and see if we can catch some mudcats out of the Mississippi.
Oh, okay. All right, then.
Just have a good time. Probably what we'll find with the weather getting to where it's going to be some mosquitoes that'll carry us off.
Yeah, yeah.
It'll probably be warm enough for them to come out.
I'm not sure about golf courses down that way, guys. I don't know what y'all have down there.
I don't. I bet you we can find one. I bet you we can, because it's going to be a great week.
It looks like it's going to be nice.
Yeah, it's going to be nice. And so, but anyway. Back to what we're going for, the basketball, the Lady Leopards are going to play. They're the second seed. They're co-champions in the 7-4A, second seed based on seeding, the way they seed. So they're going to play the third place team, the Warren Lady Lumberjacks. And that's going to be the DeQueen Motorsports game of the week. They played the Warren Lady Lumberjacks back in November. Tony didn't get to go to that game, but I went and called it, and we beat them by 24.
Yeah.
And things can change over 3 months, but usually 24 points doesn't change that much.
Yeah.
Looking for a win there, which automatically puts them into state if they win one game. Then you've got to play two more games for seeding. They're my opinion, just me, not Swaspotas or anybody else's, and we'll see what the guys say. I think that the Lady Leopards are one of the of probably three or four teams that can go all the way this year.
I agree with that. I think that this weekend, Wednesday, Thursday, I wouldn't be surprised at all if three teams come out of our regional, and I wouldn't be shocked if all four teams come out of our conference.
So who do you got? You got the Leopards, Lady Leopards.
Well, you got the Scrapperettes are the one seed. The Lady Leopards are number two. Arkadelphia Lady Badgers number three, and Camden Fairview Cardinals are number four. Mm-hmm. And so what's interesting about this is I don't know if I told this on the radio or not, but I. Two things is the fifth place team in our conference, Magnolia, does not get to go. I firmly believe there's probably three conferences in the state they could win.
Yeah.
So what you're looking at in our regional tournament, I said there's probably three or four teams that can win state. I may be missing one or two, So just say there's five, six teams. Three of them are in our regional.
Yeah, exactly.
You got Watson Chapel, you got the Scrapperettes, you got the Lady Leopards.
Yeah, and then you add Pulaski Academy to that from the other side.
Yeah.
And our only loss is to Nashville, which we then
avenged.
So things looking really good for the Lady Leopards.
Yeah. Yep, they are.
And if they play again, it's... And it's almost certainty that they will, right? That it's.
I would. Uh, I would bet on it.
Yeah, yeah.
I would bet on that. Maybe twice more.
Yeah. Good basketball coming up, man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, some really good basketball. And, you know, that, the thing about it is when you get to this level, I mean, probably not the first round of regional, but once you get past the first round of regionals, anybody can beat you.
Yeah.
I mean, on a given night, you can get beat. So you got to be at the top of your game every game. Yep. And that's why seeding is so important in these games. You know, when you look at the state tournament the next weekend, you look at the Lady Leopards. If they win the regionals, they play on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Then they don't have to play again on Friday.
Yeah.
If they don't win the regionals, they get second. They would play Thursday, Friday, Saturday, which is much more difficult, especially, you know, you're not only are you going to play every day, you're also going to be riding a bus from Magnolia back and forth every day.
Yeah.
This week they're going to go over and stay at Monticello because it's just so far. You can't can't get a bus, won't make it over there and back in one day. Hardly. I mean, it's a long way. So anyway, you know, a lot of things to look forward to. A lot of that supposition. First thing they got to take care of is take care of business against the Lady Lumberjacks. But Warren. Tony, you got us a Shelter Insurance Leopards Player of the Week.
We're going to go with the Lyle Twins, both going over the 1,000-point mark this season. They've been incredible. They've been fun to watch, been fun to call their games, and we're going to go with Shaylin and Jesse.
All right, Shaylin and Jesse Lyle, the Shelter Insurance Woods Agency Leopard Player of the Week.
Congratulations. And we move on. Let's take a quick second to talk about DeQueen Animal Hospital and Ashdown Veterinary Clinic. Good for you?
Good for me. I'm
ready.
Yeah,
man. Good for everybody here in Southwest.
They're good for everybody. That's right.
They've been good for me, for sure. I took the little cats in to get their spay and neuter and their flea and tick medication and heartworm and all that kind of stuff right off the bat, and they were absolutely a pleasure to deal with. So from personal experience, I can't recommend them enough, but if that's not enough, we've got everybody in this room who's most likely used them once before at least, and then also all of these five-star glowing reviews across Google reviews. There's almost 300 reviews, and they're all quite good. Great ratings across the board for Southwest Arkansas. You are covered. All of your veterinary needs are taken care of at great prices. Their medication, I don't know how they get it so cheap, but it is really cheap, and their spay and neutering was, you know, just very cost efficient for me.
And, Bob Barker.
Yeah, that's right. Bob Barker and that. So anything else on that? Or just Bob Barker?
Bob Barker out.
Got you.
He sure whooped Happy Gilmore. I know that.
That's right.
Yeah.
DeQueen Animal Hospital at 1690 Highway 70 West here in DeQueen, and then Ashdown Veterinary Clinic at 139 Southern Drive in Ashdown means that Southwest Arkansas is covered, for all of your veterinary needs. Great folks, great service, great prices, and all of it, man.
Hey, from large to small, they'll treat them all.
That's right. DeQueen Animal Hospital and Ashdown Veterinary Clinic. Now, let's get on the phone. We got Jim Cross on the line.
Jim, good to hear from you this week.
Yeah, good to be with you guys. Well, basketball's over for us, but had a good season and a lot of good things to build on. And then in the girls' action, we played Genoa twice and beat them in two close games and got behind early, and we just cut it to three a couple times, but we're just never able to get over the hump. And Genoa played very well, and we played well, and we just came up a little bit short. But Zamara Yaron had 30 points for Ashdown. She had a great last game of her career.
Yeah, I saw she had 30 points. That's an amazing game by Zamaria.
Yeah, she was hitting threes and driving the basket, and she played about as well as she could possibly play. And we're going to lose her, LaKenya Williams, Caitlin Jones, and Mackenzie Gillum, four seniors that have played a lot of minutes over the years, and we're certainly going to miss them. But they'll do well, and they're new challenges, and they gave a lot to the Pantherette program.
Well, we've enjoyed talking about them for the last 3 years or so, and we really wish them the best as they move on, especially Zamaria and LaKenya. I know they're going to track and to track scholarships in college. So,
yes, they are.
Yeah,
that's pretty impressive. to have two young ladies off the same team going on a track scholarship. So that's pretty awesome. And then the boys' action, I mean, guys, it's just kind of one of those mismatches. You guys have seen that before. They got a young man for Genoa, Peyton Hicks, and he's a good 6'5", long and lean. And we don't have anybody 6'5".
Right.
And he was averaging in the two games before us that we played before them. He was averaging 28 a game against us. And he came out and had 18 in the first half. Mm-hmm. And what made it even tough, he was 6-6 from the free throw line. So if you fouled him, that didn't help either.
Yeah. sometimes there's nothing you can do.
No, there's not. And we got Radarius Norman, and Darius is 6'1", maybe 250, and he played hard. And, I mean, a couple times Hicks just made a shot, and I just said, hey, man, that's good defense, better offense. I mean, it just happens. And so they got out on us early, and we cut the lead about 8 or 9 a couple times, but couldn't make any headway. And we're going to lose Antonio McDuffie and Radarius Norman, and two really good seniors, and R.J. Forbes. And but we got some other guys coming up, and like Bryson French, he had a big year as a sophomore. Amari Spencer played well as a sophomore. So got some guys and some ninth graders that played well too. They got a little playing time Thursday night. So I think we'll be all right. We're certainly going to miss Antonio. That's a huge miss, because I mean, he's an all-conference guy. But we'll see. We'll see what Coach Smith put together for the next season. But the guys went from 0 conference wins to 6 this year. So that's quite an improvement.
It is quite an improvement.
Yeah, and congratulations to them and to the Lady Panthers. Season's over. Jim, you know anything just real quickly about baseball or softball? When's that going to – I know it'll start really soon. I just don't know exactly when.
Yeah, the benefit game will be Thursday. And the first broadcast game that I'm doing is the following Monday, going to y'all's favorite place, Nashville.
All right. Yeah. Well,
so I'll tell everybody Greg said hey.
Yeah, that sounds great. Yeah, tell them I said hello. Hey, they got a nice facility, man. If you're going if you're doing baseball, that's a great place to call a game from. You can see, you know, you're up above where you can see everything. And if you're going to call a game, if you're going to have to call a game in Nashville, at least you get up where you can see.
There's good hospitality over there, too.
They do.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah, they do. They take care of you. So that's good. And Jim, looking forward to talking to you about baseball and softball and spring sports as we move on. The Panthers and Lady Panthers both finished their basketball season this year. And who's going to be your Dom Tar Panther Player of the Week? Or do you want me to just go ahead and announce it?
Why don't you go ahead and announce it?
It's going to be, it's going to be Zamaria Roan with 30 points.
Yeah. 30 points. That's a pretty good game, fellas.
Yeah. Tony and I are trying to figure out if we didn't score that many points.
I was going to say, that's a pretty good week.
I'm not even sure I scored 30 points in the backyard by myself.
That's an amazing game by her, and congratulations to her for being the Dom Tar Panther Player of the Week. And you know, I just want to mention LaKenya one more time and Radarius Norman. You know, we hear these names over and over and over again, and just good kids. And you know, they're the ones that carried the flag for the Panthers this year in basketball. And I know that you mentioned them, and they're going to be missed as they go into the future.
Yeah, and what I want to say, I'm glad you mentioned both of those athletes. LaKenya, I mean, this isn't even her sport. I mean, you know, she could have easily said, okay, hey, I'm going to concentrate on track and not do basketball. But she did basketball. And fellas, I'm convinced she could probably play junior college or Division II basketball. But she got out there and played with her team and put her individual stuff aside so that she could help the Pantherettes have a good season. And then Radarius, his main sport's football. And last year I was really proud of him. You know, like I say, they didn't win a conference game. He stayed through the whole thing. Some kids quit, but Radarius never quit, never wavered, and just gave it his all. And he'll tell you football is his sport. But basketball, he got out there and did what he needed to do And people like that are very, very hard to replace.
Yeah, they are, but I'm sure y'all dig some up from junior high or somewhere. Somebody will step up, you know.
Yeah,
and we'll be talking about them next year.
That's right. That's right. There'll be a whole new set of names, won't there?
That's right, Jim. Yeah. Anything else before we let you go?
Well, baseball. I'm meeting with the guys Wednesday and kind of get a little bit more of what's going on there. And I've talked to some of the kids: Walt Jones, Cutter Dollarhide, Gunnar Altenbaumer. Those guys are raring to go. You know, Walt's going to Arkansas on a scholarship, baseball scholarship, and Cutter Dollarhide, he signed with SAU Tech. And also Kyler Jones also has some looks. Texas A&M's offering him. Texas A&M and Texarkana's offering him. And some other people are looking at him. So, you know, there's some schools here that are looking at our kids in baseball for the next level.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah, that's really good. And look forward to talking to you about baseball and softball. And just remember one more thing before we let you go. You better be working out because that walk's coming up soon.
Whew. I tell you what, I did 15 miles Saturday, and I'm a little stiff. But it's going to be great. I'm looking forward to it.
I drove about 40 miles Saturday.
Did you? Okay. All right.
Well, we're looking forward to hearing from that. It's a great thing you do for the community. Just wanted to give it a little shout out real quick.
Well, I appreciate that, fellas. Appreciate that a lot. Yeah. Good deal.
Anyway, Jim, we appreciate you as always, and we'll talk to you next week about baseball, softball, see what's going on there.
Hey, looking forward to it, guys. Appreciate you guys.
Take care, Jim.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. Now I think we should move on to the Outlaws, and we have our Outlaws aficionado here with us, Jeff Tuttle. King Tut.
I don't have to spell officially.
No, no. I couldn't do it if you paid me. Yeah. What's going on with them?
Well, the senior boys, you know, we done this on Tuesday of last week, so we touched on their first-round game. You know, they beat Foreman last Monday night to move on to the semifinals. And, no, not the semifinals. The second round, which was everything being pushed back last week. Throws me off.
Yeah.
Second round game was played on Friday. They took on the Spring Hill Bears. Spring Hill defeated the Outlaws senior boys 74-68, ending the season for the Outlaws. Tony does a good job of keeping up with the record for us, 13-16. And second half of the season for the Outlaws, they really came along. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm proud of those guys and I hate to see their season end.
Wasn't they something like 6-12 or something like that at one point?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then it was just a long win streak.
I know there. At one time they said they'd won 8 of 10, you know, down the stretch.
Yeah.
And they were really playing some good ball and coming along and just proud of the coaches and the players and what they done. Now, against the Bears on Friday night, Jordan Hill led them in scoring with 14 points, hit some three-pointers. You know, he was big for them. And you have, you know, just scoring was pretty balanced after that. Landon Young, Dylan Moore, Ben Ernest had a really good game for the Outlaws. Freshman McLean Smith, who moved up, he gave them some good minutes, rebounding and some points in there. But like I say, you know, the season comes to an end. You hate to see it end for them like that. But they improved all season long, you know, and the seniors kept a team together that, like you say, could have fell apart midway through the season.
Right,
so
yeah.
Just proud of those guys and Coach Chisholm and what they've done this year.
Yeah, to win 8 of your last 10 was really commendable in the second half when you could easily just be like, ah. You
had some players, you know, leave the team and, you know, just they kept it together.
That's awesome. And what was the final score of the?
74-68.
So pretty close still.
I told people before the game, I said, we'll beat Spring Hill unless they shoot the ball like they're capable of. I wish I had the numbers on their three-pointers. They had 6 different kids make three-pointers.
Wow.
And out of those 6, their best player was not one of them, and he had 18 points and 14 rebounds for them.
Wow.
And, you know, so you lose to them 74-68, and we did not shoot the ball nearly as well as they did. So.
Yeah. Well, we move on then. That's the Outlaw season over. Greg?
Yeah, I was just going to mention one thing. So now baseball starts, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think
the Outlaws. Go ahead.
Do you have the date on that?
I think you said March the 7th.
Supposed to be against Mineral Springs,
yeah.
At Mineral Springs. And a lot of that will probably depend on what Mineral Springs does, you know, basketball-wise. I'm assuming they're probably in the regionals. Their conference is going to be Kirby, Nevada County, Blevins. And I'm thinking Mineral Springs would probably be that fourth team that gets in there. But I'm not positive on that. I don't keep up with theirs unless people are trashing each other in their conference on Facebook.
That's where
the
you
best way to do it. I mean, they don't give me the information on all four of them.
Yeah.
Just the top two or three.
Oh, man. So that's next Friday baseball starting.
Supposed to be.
But Lady Outlaws, they keep going.
Lady Outlaws had a bye. Mm. They were the number one seed. They won the regular season, number one seed in the tournament. So they had a bye to the semifinals, and they defeated the Horatio Lady Lions 51-29. And, you know, it's hard to say you didn't have a really good offensive game when you beat somebody 51-29. But, you know, I have some scoring totals here. Addison Hill led them with 12 points. She had 8 rebounds. And then Miley Harrison, 10 points. Freshman Kaylin Coulter, 8 points. Rayleigh Walston, 6. I mean, then 6, 5, 4.
Mm-hmm.
Just balanced scoring for the Lady Outlaws, just doing what they need to do and not turning the ball over a lot. It goes a long ways.
For sure.
They protect the ball, and, you know, they move on. And we're recording this on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
So, man, this always gets confusing. They will play tonight, Monday night, in the finals of the district tournament against Mountain Pine Lady Red Devils. And that'll be for the 1 and 2 seed. You know, the winner will be the 1 going into the regional tournament, which starts Wednesday. And the loser will be the 2 seed. If the Lady Outlaws win, they'll play at 7 o'clock on Wednesday as the 1 seed. If they lose and they're the 2 seed, they'll play on Thursday, I believe, but I'm not sure of that time.
Probably 4. But I'm
gets
not
confusing
sure
at these
it
ones.
It could be. Yeah. It's either 4 or 7.
Yeah, one of the two.
And every time we talk on the radio about it, we're like, and if they win, but if they lose, it's going to be, and then, if the moon lines up right.
a lot of different things going on, but the Lady Outlaws are playing really well.
Yeah.
Big surprise for me out of that tournament was Cutter losing to Mountain Pine in the semis.
Mm.
Or at least I think it was for me. I don't know about you, Jeff.
Yeah, there was a few surprises, you know, and we mentioned last week Horatio Boys team upsetting Mountain Pine by 20-plus in the first round. But, yes, Mountain Pine Lady Red Devils upsetting Cutter Morningstar Lady Eagles, you know, to move on to the finals. And that knocked Cutter from the 2 seed, possibly the 1, you know, depending on the finals if they were in it, to the 3. So, you know, they dropped down to the 3 seed. And those 3 seed versus 2 seed matchups can get – entertaining in the regional tournament, so you'd like to hold on to that too. And but
and the further you get down in the seeds, the more you have to travel, right? For these, or
same place, but it's just you're playing a higher rated team. You know, so go ahead. I'm sorry,
well, I was just gonna say the boys' final tonight will be Cutter Morningstar Eagles and the Spring Hill Bears, who defeated the Outlaws, and then they upset the Rattlers, who were the number one seed in the semifinals. So, you know, the Rattlers go from possibly being a 1 to a 3. So, I mean, there was some upsets in our district tournament, but hey, that's what the postseason's all about.
Yeah,
boy, that's a tough draw for the 2 from the other league, though, to get Murfreesboro as the 3 seed.
Yeah. And as y'all mentioned about the Lady Leopards, you know, there's some really good teams going to be in our regional. Like I say, the seeding is yet to be decided. But the 1, 2, and 3, and 4. I mean, Horatio will be the 4.
Mm-hmm.
Cutter the 3, 1 and 2 undecided between the Lady Outlaws and the Lady Red Devils. But those are 4 teams that could give anybody trouble. And then you have Powen in the other region, the other district coming to the regional, the Woodlawn Lady Bears. I mean, they're going to be the 1 and 2. I think that's set in stone. Powen the 1, Woodlawn the 2. Ouachita and Parker's Chapel, I'm not sure who the three and the four is, but I believe that's the other two teams that made it out of that district.
So a question for you. Lady Lions and Cutter not playing for third and fourth place. Now, how do they determine who's fourth place?
They'll go back to the seeding you had coming into the district tournament. Because Cutter was the two,
they automatically get
the three. They'll be the higher seed.
I got you. So they don't play that third and fourth place game like they do in the regional tournament.
Right. Yeah, they'll do it in the regional for the state.
I got you. Okay. Okay, well, so that pretty much covers Lady Outlaw basketball and Outlaw basketball. Congratulations to the Outlaws on the season they had.
I want to mention something real quick before we move on. I thought about this while y'all were talking about the Lady Leopards. We talk a lot about the Lady Leopards and the Lady Outlaws. You know, they're carrying this area right now. And if you look at it, I mean, I was looking a while ago, and now I'm
56-4. Yeah.
The record of those two teams.
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
Did you guys expect it coming into this season? I mean, we expected it to do well, but...
I think the Lady Leopards expected it.
Yeah.
I don't know if the Lady Outlaws expected to do quite as well as they are. I mean, we thought we would be improved. But
I don't know if I expected just one loss. We're in a good, really good conference and some tough road opponents, you know, at Fairview, at Arkadelphia, at Nashville. I think 28-1 is really good, and 29-0 would be unrealistic.
Yeah. And one of the things about it is, and we talked about this a little bit this morning, Tony and I have talked about it for a while, you know, it took us a while to realize how good we were.
Yeah.
Because we would beat teams and we'd say, well, that team's not as good as we thought they were going to be. Well, that's really not true, because they're going and beating other teams everywhere. You know, I mean, you take Poland, who we mercy ruled.
Yeah.
You know, they're one of the top teams in 2A. You take Berryville. They're one of the top teams up in their conference. You take Warren, who's the second seed. You know, and you look at all those games. I mean, you know, we've just done really well, and I think we it's a testament to Coach Burgess and to those girls about how he's changed the mindset in Lady Leopards.
And, you know, that's something I was fixing to say. As much as we brag on the Lady Outlaws and the Lady Leopards, which is what we're getting paid millions of dollars to
do right now. Yeah.
I mean, that 56-4, whatever the Lady Outlaws do tonight, after tonight, Coach Burgess and Coach Stewart, those records, they have to tell those kids that don't matter. They're 0-0. Because... after tonight, if you lose, you're done.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
So,
man.
They just got to stay focused.
Yep.
But they're all playing well right now.
Yeah, they really are. And congratulations to both of those teams.
Yeah.
And especially as we're talking about Outlaws, Lady Outlaws, congratulations to them. Look forward to seeing what they do in the regional tournament. Jeff, Todd Moore Shelter Insurance, Outlaw Player of the Week.
Well, I'm going to go Philip Fields on y'all once again.
Oh, nice.
I want to commend those Outlaw senior boys who have stuck it out, helped keep this team together. They played their last game Friday night and be moving on to baseball after this. But Jordan Hill, Dylan Moore, and Landon Young, the three seniors that the Outlaws lose, I'm going to go with them as the Todd Moore Shelter Insurance Outlaw Player of the Week.
Hopefully the three of y'all can fit in one T-shirt.
Get them one of mine.
Yeah.
Get my size for them.
There you go. And there'll be room at leftover.
Yeah.
Now, Greg, that was just rude.
I'm sorry.
Amazing.
Congratulations to those three guys and for being the Todd Moore Shelter Insurance Outlaw Players of the Week. We congratulate the Outlaws on their season and how they finished it up, and look forward to hearing from what they're going to do in baseball as they move forward. And also, don't forget, Lady Outlaws playing in the finals of the conference tournament last night as we
as you hear this.
It'll be over, but they'll be in Poland for the regional tournament.
And I hear Justin Moore will be there singing the national anthem. Everybody come out.
Nice. Yeah.
Sounds great.
I might have made that up. Hey, before we get off of Outlaw stuff real quick, I want to remind everybody of the Derek's Athletic Booster Club golf tournament, third annual golf tournament. coming up April the 19th. I don't think we've got a lot of publicity out there for it yet, so we just want everybody to mark that on their calendar. Be the day before Easter. So you can search for golf balls on Saturday and Easter eggs on Sunday.
Nice.
So we'll get more info out on that and flyers out, but three-person scramble.
Mm-hmm. Am I going to win a prize this year?
You'll have to talk to Toad Thumper.
Yeah.
You've got a prize on
your head. Yeah,
Toad Thumper right head.
Oh, okay. Well, I thought I'd win an extra prize for wearing this on, you know. But
we're going to have him in here in a few weeks.
All right. Nice. I can't wait. That sounds great.
Moving on.
Let's move on to Horatio.
Speaking of teams that carry the area, Lions and Lady Lions.
There you go.
Yeah.
Lions and finished their season off as they, like Jeff said earlier, one of the upsets of the tournament, beat Mountain Pine by 21 and then lost to Cutter by 20, and their season's now over. They going to start baseball March the 3rd. That's crazy. Wow. Yeah, that's a week from today as we talk on the air. So
hey, talking about their season ending though with that loss to Cutter, you can't say enough about Coach Steven Sprick. I mean, he was thrown into that head coaching role
a week before the season,
and you could do that and not have any interest. But he coached those guys every game, you know, hard, kept them competitive in a lot of games, and. I mean, you can't say enough about that because that's not – he didn't sign up to be that basketball coach. No.
No, you're right. We great effort by him. And also want to mention that he told me that the process for applications for the head boys basketball coach is now open at Horatio.
Yeah, so if anybody listening has the credentials for that, there's a place to go.
Yeah. And a couple of good senior basketball – players there. I think I know Zach Smith's a senior, Daniel Gideon too. I mean, just, you know, we heard their names over and over.
Yep.
Over and over again during the year. And great players, and congratulations to them. And moving on to baseball for the Lions. Lady Lions, they're 18-9.
Yeah.
That's a great season too.
It is. Sure.
You talk about, add that into that other one. That's still it's really great. They beat Spring Hill and then lost to Dirks in the district tournament. So they're going to advance to the regional as a four seed, which means they'll probably get the pleasure of playing
74-13.
Oh, thank you. 74-13 overall. That's great. And Lady Lions are going to advance to the regional and get the pleasure of playing the Poland Lady. Are they still the Indians? Lady Indians, and
that continues on.
Yeah. Well, you never know anymore.
Because it's always fun calling a football game when it's the Indian Outlaws.
Yeah, that's true.
I use that so much.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, that's the first time I heard it. Now, when I listen again, I'll be like, "Nah, you already used that joke."
Yeah, that's right. But Poland, a really good team, is going to be a stiff test for the Lady Lions. But congratulations to them for moving on to the regionals. And our Horatio State Bank line player of the week is going to be Presley Sprick. She had 14 points against Spring Hill. Congratulations to Presley. And thank you to Horatio State Bank for honoring the line player of the week. And so we're now going to move on to the Costot River Eagles real quickly. And the Costot River Eagles, 19-13, Tony jinxed them. And I sure did. They never did get that 20 win.
I got a text from Coach Barrett just saying exactly that.
Thanks.
Surprising loss.
Yeah.
Expected to win, but they lost to Charleston 60-46. So.
Not the Chews.
Yeah.
The Charleston Chews got them.
Charleston Chews got them.
Oh, man.
And they're actually the Lions.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
But it's more fun to say. It's either the Charlies or I like the Chews.
Yeah. 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 But anyway, lost 60-46, so their season's over. They'll be moving on to baseball, and congratulations to them. Still an excellent season, 19-13. Excellent job there. We talked about the Lady Eagles last week as they finished their season in the opening round of the tournament, losing to Cedarville. The Union Bank of MENA Eagle Player of the Week is going to be Chris Carterby. I think we've heard his name before.
We have.
Yeah.
A couple times.
Yeah. 12 points and 9 rebounds in the game against Charleston.
Nice.
So he's going to be the Union Bank Arena Eagle Player of the Week. Congratulations to him, and also thank you to Union Bank Arena for sponsoring the Eagle Player of the Week.
Yeah. What about Cedarville? Who are the Cedarville
trees? Team?
The trees, yeah.
No, Cedarville Stanford. Cedars? Stanford's yeah. only thing I know. They got a tree as they a do. Mascot.
Chris Carterby, by the way, was a great receiver at Ohio State in Minnesota.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he plays for the Eagles.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. No, that was Chris Carter.
Yeah, it was Chris Carter, not Chris Carterby. But, you know, that pretty much wraps up the sports for the high school for the area. Before we get into the awards for the week, why don't we talk about UA Costot, Tyler?
What a great idea, Greg. At www.cccua.edu is Costot's website.
And I'm not even looking at anybody. I'm just looking away.
My brain ain't working, dude. I can't do it.
How about you just do it later?
No, we're doing this. Okay.
You want to start over?
No. I got your line. Your line is delivered.
Okay.
All right. It's all on me now.
Okay.
That's right, Greg. UA Costot. All right. Whew. Okay. Sorry, guys. We'll take two.
Okay.
That's right, Greg. UA Costot. They are our newest sponsor, but... Stop, now I've got the giggles. Stop it. Okay.
I won't look at you.
All right. That's right, Greg. UA Costot, who is our newest sponsor, but we can't say that forever. I can't continuously say that every time. They're solidly ingrained. It's UA Costot. www.cccua.edu is the very best Swiss Army knife website for them. You can apply online. You can see all of their areas of study and so much more. Get all the information that you possibly need. They have it really is a great website. They put a lot of effort into that. And they also have the UA Costot Colts.com or just UA Costot Colts.com. That is their athletics department website. They have their own separate website, so you can see everything that they got going on, the basketball that's going on strong over there. Let's see. This week they play – actually, I don't have the updated information on that. That was all tournament stuff to be announced. So it's going on February 25th through March 2nd. They have some tournament play.
Well, they're going to play Wednesday at North Arkansas College.
Nice.
Yep. That's in the Region 2 quarterfinals.
Great. Yeah. So shout out to the Costot Colts. And, man, when they're in play, it is a great time. $5 gets you in locally here at the historic 1950s UA Costot Bank of Locksburg Gymnasium. I hear all kinds of cool stuff about it. It is a great way to support the Colts. Go check them out. And you can donate, too. If you like to donate to UA Costot, you can indeed choose where those funds go to with the Costot Foundation, UA Costot Foundation, and you can have it go straight to their athletics department. We got soccer and shooting sports as well. So go Colts, of course. And everything else that comes with UA Costot. You can find all your employer resources, state scholarships and grants for study, facility rentals, programs of study offered at UA Costot on their website. That website again, www.cccua.edu. We appreciate them so much for joining the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air podcast. I think we move on, man. I'm itching. We got some awards to give away.
We do have some awards to give away, and we specifically have three. The first one is the Toad Thumper Lures Girls Player of the Area for the week, and that's going to be?
From the Horatio Lady Lions, Ellie Sidwell.
Great job against the Dirks Lady Outlaws, and look forward to hearing how they're going to do in the regional tournament. And Horatio State Bank Boys Player of the Area.
Mm-hmm.
In honor of Philip Fields, we're going to split it with between Rowan Sanchez of the Leopards and Jordan Hill of the Outlaws.
Two outstanding senior players played their last games for their respective teams this past week, and congratulations to both Rowan and Jordan. And our Adderose Design Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air Player of the Area for this week is
Zamaria Roan for the Lady Panthers, who
awesome
just great athlete. I don't know how many different sports she played. I imagine she could play all the girls' sports at Ashdown and be a star at all of them.
Yeah, she probably plays a little football, too.
Yeah.
Well, she's in a chess tournament, too.
Yeah. Scored 30 points in her last game
as
a Lady Panther, and congratulations to her. We appreciate all our sponsors for sponsoring these kids and letting us choose one from each team on a weekly basis. We've done it all through the year so far, and we're going to continue doing it move into the spring sports. For a lot of teams, still got a little bit of basketball left for the Lady Lions, Lady Outlaws, and Lady Leopards.
Yeah.
And looking forward to that. But, guys, that's high school. What else you want to talk about today?
Hockey.
All right. Let's talk about hockey.
Hey, how about that? Was it Four Nations tournament?
I'm so mad about it.
I figured that's something you would want to talk about.
I wouldn't mind. Talking about it for just a minute. Amazing games of hockey. I didn't watch the first one. I didn't watch the second one. I didn't watch the third one. I'd caught all the highlights and I stayed on top of it, but I did not watch the actual games because I had no way to do it. I don't have cable TV, so I have no idea where else to do that at. I only have ESPN Plus, and they don't have it on there. So,
with the exception of you, I would think looking at social media,
yeah,
more people probably watch this hockey than anything other than maybe Olympic hockey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
I mean,
didn't do the national anthem, did you?
I didn't, and that's I can't believe how that all went down. The first game, the first game was in Montreal. Yeah,
they have a very pretty national anthem.
They do.
It's
copied right off the Star Spangled Banner.
Yeah. Well,
they're not wanting to change it because they become the 51st state.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. See, we offer them our hand and they slap it away.
I wasn't going there.
But it was pretty classless of them in Montreal to boo the national anthem of America. I get it. Stuff
it was
going on, you know, it was fight worthy. So 9 seconds in, we had three fights, which was a lot of fun to watch. It was old school hockey, really, really good. The highlights and the full games were amazing to watch.
But my point in bringing this up is the NHL has their all-star break together.
Yeah.
They've got it figured out.
Yeah. Yep.
And I don't know what the other sports how they can respond to that,
mm-hmm.
but by far the best all-star format of all the major sports.
Man. It really was insanely good. And then, like, everything that you knew going forward into this was true. America's defense is ridiculously good, super physical, huge on the ice. And then you have the best player in the world right now, Connor McDavid, playing for the Canadian teams. I'm not sure they would have been able to get it done without him.
I was going to say, game winner.
Yeah, two times on that now, in both in overtime. So, It was a great series, and I love the format. I thought it was great, and you're right about the all-star teams. This is a great way to do it.
It is. I don't know what Major League Baseball, the NBA, mm-hmm. the NFL can do to even sniff it.
Yeah.
But man, whoever thought that out, that was a good idea.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Major League Baseball's version of that, where they play world teams or whatever, mm-hmm. they do that like just random.
Yeah,
time of the year.
Yeah,
you know,
but you may see that move to a week in the middle of the season.
I like it. I mean, I like it.
Yeah, you may see, where Puerto Rico, the Dominican Republic, the U.S., you know, they all have their own baseball team and maybe a little 4-team tournament. It would be really cool.
Yeah. That would be fun. I actually watched the last game.
Yeah.
Especially the overtime. Mm-hmm. It was crazy.
Insane.
How insane it was.
I watched it. I had to every once in a while talk to my local hockey enthusiast who's my neighbor to check on a few rules. I don't know all the rules. I mean, he keeps me lined out. I mean, but he could just make stuff up because I I wouldn't know.
Like offsides and stuff like that?
My main one, and I didn't ask him until they played that on Thursday, right? And then I saw him Friday at the basketball game. And I said, I know they have 5 different places for the face-off. And I want to know how they decided where it was, because in that last game, there was a tripping
mm-hmm.
on one end, and then they went to Canada's end for the face-off, and he said, tripping.
Right back to your own.
Back to their goal. Yeah. So I said, okay, I mean, I didn't know that. But I will know that next time I watch one.
A lot of people were saying this is like this is old school hockey, like personified. So like most people watch hockey during the playoffs, and it's not that fights can't happen in the playoffs. You just don't see them as much because that's it's not a very smart thing to do in the middle of a game.
Well, and I've said this before on the podcast, and anybody that will listen, hockey is a much better game to watch in person than it is. It's we had a minor league team in Huntington called the Blizzard. And we were, I mean, we were there all the time to watch minor league hockey because it was, I mean, you could see all the hitting, you could see all the hitting away from the puck. And,
and you remember the way the rink smells? It's a whole different experience.
I've said, and you would think this would be just the opposite, but like watching it live, I feel like it's easier to keep up with the puck.
Definitely.
And I'm going to give him a shout out. Andy Hogg is our local hockey enthusiast. Stat man for Outlaw football. He used to work for the team in Little Rock when the Glacier Cats, is that what they were? I believe.
Something like that.
Is he a Penguins fan?
How do you keep a block of ice cold here in Arkansas?
Is he a Penguins year-round refrigerator?
Red Wings. He's diehard Red
Come
Wings.
Come on, Andy.
But he used to work for them, and we went to a hockey game or two, and I really enjoyed going to watch. He is a Dallas Star season ticket holder.
Awesome.
I mean, just so he can go watch the Red Wings when they're there.
Well, that's pretty cool. So if we move on, stay in the All-Star game theory, if we move on, did you see where you got – so we all know that the NBA All-Star stuff is just a load of hoo-ha, right? I mean, it's just – you know, they just do this crazy stuff. But – money do you think? How much money do you think Chris Paul's got? How much money does Victor Wembanyama got?
Oh man!
All they could ever spend, right? And they cheated.
Yeah.
And the skills.
Yeah, he did.
Did you see that? They got disqualified for cheating.
What did they do?
They cheated in an obstacle course.
Yeah. Where he was just throwing the balls.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
As I look at what you pulled up there, Moses Moody, they cheated Moses Moody out of it?
Well, no. Moses Moody came in second place. Cleveland beat them. But the final game came after San Antonio's duo of Victor Wembanyama, and Chris Paul was disqualified for trying to cheat the rules in the obstacle course.
Yeah. They were just like throwing balls to speed up, right? Yeah. Like not worrying about, or I don't remember exactly what it was.
I didn't see that.
It looked goofy though, didn't it? It was just weird.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't like watching Wembanyama play right now. I like watching
him. Have to worry about it for the rest of the season.
I like watching him kind of get, I don't know. It's not your fault when you're the first. Yeah. I like watching him get schooled. It's really tough, right?
He's breed of NBA player though. Mm-hmm. I mean, That's crazy to see somebody that size do the things they do.
True.
Yeah. I just had to mention that because I just can't imagine them cheating in that obstacle course thing. I mean, why?
Yeah. That was the first time.
That was the first one.
And they're making a farce of a farce.
Yeah.
Is what they're doing.
Exactly.
This is stupid. You got to take it seriously.
That's right. That's right.
That's true.
Yeah, it's just crazy. But anyway, that's probably enough about that. I know Tony and I talked about a little bit about this off the air. You see the SEC and Big Ten commissioners met, and wonder what they were talking about, Tony.
Oh, yeah.
Leaving Marshall out.
Yeah.
And all the Marshalls of college football.
Yeah.
Man,
Group of five, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So what was the problem?
Well, the problem is the way it was set up this year. The winners, the one that got the automatic buys, went 0-4 in the second round, and so I think what they're going to use that to propel that some teams that come we'll use the SEC, that the team that came in second in the SEC deserves a buy more than Boise State did.
Gotcha.
This year, right?
Yeah,
that's what they're trying to do. Mm-hmm. So basically, what they're going to do is cut out all the little teams,
right?
Or smaller teams. You know, the group of five got one of those buys that they won't anymore,
right?
Well, that's what they're trying to get.
But it wasn't set up for them to get one of those buys. The conference champions of the power conferences were so bad, namely the Big 12, and Arizona State. I mean, where would Arizona State finish in the SEC? They'd be a mid-level team.
Yeah, middle of the pack.
Yeah.
Above Arkansas, probably.
Right. So, you take the conference champions, the highest rated of the conference champions. I think Boise was rated ninth in the country, in the final poll, they were a conference champion, so they got one of the spots.
Mm-hmm.
And I guarantee you, Boise did not set up the rules, and Marshall did not set up the rules. Those guys set up the rules, mm-hmm. and then when it didn't work out for them, wham, wham, wham. Yeah. And I have no patience for it.
Wow.
So it didn't. We set up the rules. It didn't work out for us, so we're going to set up the rules again.
Hey, wait a minute. Is Tony getting worked up?
Oh, yeah, just a little bit.
Well, here's the deal.
Stephen A. Stowers.
At Northside, I had a friend that was a big Arkansas fan. He was always on me about Marshall and I their schedule. And I said, listen, why don't we trade? Why don't you move to Conference USA, which where Marshall was then? We'll move to the SEC. We'll get the $60 million check. You can take our $3 million check for being in Conference USA. We'll trade schedules and see how you like it.
Yeah.
You know? Man. But instead of trying to even things out, it just gets more disproportionate.
That's right. Rich get richer.
That's right.
And essentially, we've talked about this before on here, and Tony and I talk about it a lot. But I think that this is the beginning of the end for NCAA college football.
Yes.
The way it exists right now. The top teams, the big teams, the rich teams are going to break off and go on their own. And because, you know, you're going to have a big backlash from this eventually by some of these other teams, including like the Big 12.
Going off on their own, like into their own whole new.
Yeah,
the Big Ten and the SEC could set up something on their own, leave everybody else out, and it would be the most watched, the most coveted.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I think that's where it's headed. I think the only question is there going to be something in the middle and then something at the end?
Mm-hmm.
You know, are the Big 12 and the ACC, are they going to come together and do something secondary, maybe with some of the better group of five? And then there's going to be something behind that. I really believe there's going to be a day where Marshall is in a 30 or 40 team division where they go back to playing for scholarships. Mm-hmm. They go back, you know, the way it used to be.
And do you guys not like that? Because like if we're talking about these big teams that are always doing all they go on their own, they might give the teams that we like a little bit more of a chance. No, it doesn't. I don't know.
It gives them less of a chance.
Yeah,
it does. There'll be a championship of all the schools who aren't paying players.
Oh, right. Which is how many? Like,
yeah. And then you've got what the big thing that if you're a Marshall fan is, you know, a couple years ago we went to Notre Dame. They gave us $3 million to beat their brains in.
Mm-hmm.
we've been to, you know, every year Marshall usually plays two what they call money games.
Mm-hmm.
And those are going to go away. The further the separation is.
Yeah.
I mean, Marshall's total athletic budget's $35 or $40 million. They play two money games. There's $5 or $6 million of it. Mm-hmm. And without those games, some athletics will have to go away at Marshall. Mm-hmm. They just will.
Yeah.
My take on this is, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
And y'all might agree, y'all might disagree. I don't know. I'm an SEC guy because we're in the SEC. I mean, that's the only reason I say,
hey, I have a feeling I'm not going to like this.
Go SEC. But I think you'll agree. I think you'll agree because I'm not defending the SEC. The SEC wants to be in control of what happens because none of this would have happened if they hadn't have expanded in 1992. You know, they started things and put themselves up there, and they want to stay there where everybody else is trying to catch up. How long was it before? Who was the next conference to expand? The Big Ten went to mm-hmm. the Big 12.
Yeah.
And I don't know how many years after 92 that was, but.
Yeah, but everybody else, there's not enough big, good schools left for the ACC and the Big 12 to catch up.
Mm. And I'm just saying, yeah.
And that's why they are the two dominant conferences.
The SEC wants to say, hey, we've done this to start with. We should be in the forefront. We should be the one telling people what to do. And I think there's too many good teams and conferences out there right now to do that. I mean. But I think the fact that they led the way is part of – it's an ego thing for the SEC. I mean, I know you thought I was defending them all the way, but I don't agree with the way they handle it.
Well, I think one of the things that you're going to realize is, as an Arkansas Razorback fan, are we in or out?
Hmm.
Yeah, I mean
– I'm saying we're out.
We were that expansion in 1992.
Yeah.
But, I mean, what are we going to be in – 2032.
Well, yeah.
2025.
See, I'm thinking it's going to be 32 teams, but it's going to be patterned pretty much after the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have, you know, divisions, and they're going to play each other. And then instead of, you know, I'll use Marshall. Instead of Marshall getting that money game, Arkansas is going to get that money game.
Right.
And that's where you're gonna. That's where the change is gonna go down. So the rich are gonna get richer, the poor are gonna get poorer, and it's gonna create a totally different deal. Which it's all fine and good if that's the way you want to do it. But the way they're going about it is they're taking all the money with them.
Yeah. You know, can I ask, is this a long time coming, or is this like a direct result of?
I think Jeff's right. I think it goes all the way back.
Okay.
You know, the fact that we're discussing whether Arkansas is in or out, it wouldn't even be in a discussion if had they not went to the SEC when they did.
That's right.
22 years ago or something.
Yeah, 92. Yeah.
92.
Hmm. Yeah. Yep. So
Arkansas and South Carolina.
And when they went to there, the part of the reason they did that is because the big ESPN contract that they got at that time, which was, you know, nothing now, but I mean, it was unbelievable then.
Yeah.
And you know, and the thing about it is, it's just like you talk about, you know, so Texas, who was in the semifinals, got $4 million because they had to split theirs with every other conference team. You know, Notre Dame got $32 million.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But still, you're talking about $4 million split, what, 18 ways or 16 ways or whatever. They got a lot of money.
Now, yeah. I did read, and if I read it right, the all of the 10 conference commissioners it has to be unanimous to change the rule that's already there until it expires. And I can't imagine those group of five guys going along with that.
No. Yeah, because there's no advantage to it for them.
No.
Yep. But it will because I think one of the deals they were doing, and tell me, you know more about it than I do, but a group of five team has to be in the playoffs.
Right. The best group of five team.
They have to be in there. And so what these guys are wanting to do is kick that out.
Mm-hmm.
Where you can take the fourth best team in the SEC instead of Boise State,
right?
You know, because I just think it's going that way, and that's what it's going to do. Anything else on that, guys?
No, you really got my dander up.
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to ever make all of them happy. I mean, nobody's ever going to be everybody on board. It's like I say during the basketball game. 50% of the crowd disagrees with the official on every call.
ACC has already taken the cake and the icing and the crumbs, and now they're wanting to take the plate. It's on. You know, leave something for somebody.
Yeah.
You know, holy cow!
Yeah. I like cake. I didn't need any bread last week.
But it was good. It was really good.
They told me it wasn't sugar free.
Yeah, it was really good. But you know, Arkansas baseball.
I told you it was.
Yeah, we could have if you wanted to do that. Arkansas baseball 2-1 over the weekend down at Globe Life Park or Globe Life Stadium. I think they did really well.
Nice.
There. They lost to Kansas State and then came back and beat TCU and
Our
Michigan.
Buddy Benny Ester was down there to take that in. I saw some good Facebook pictures of it.
Yep. Nice.
And a good weekend for them. The Lady Razorback softball team's really doing well too. I think they were 13-0. They lost to UCLA Saturday.
I was going to ask if they'd lost.
Yeah, they lost to UCLA Saturday. Don't know what happened on Sunday.
Does Tom Brady's niece still play for UCLA?
I have no clue.
She played there like 12 years.
Yeah, I know it.
She was there last year.
Yeah. They're both doing really well. Looking forward to seeing how they do. They're coming back to the cold weather to play now.
Changing the subject.
Yep.
I nearly wore my Coach Cal shirt today.
Duh. They won, didn't they?
How about those Razorbacks?
Yeah. Yeah, they're hanging by the hair of their chinny.
They're wanting to make it tough on the committee to decide whether or not they get in.
Well, according to ESPN, they have a 43% chance of being in the NCAA field now.
That was a big win, other than that.
It was. I think before they beat the Missouri, it was like 26.
I think they've got to get two wins this week. beat Texas at home, beat South Carolina on the road.
Texas would be a big win.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then they're in?
I'm not saying that. I think it...
It would really make it hard to keep them out.
Gotcha.
But there's always hurt feelings when they pick this NCAA tournament field, because there's always about all 6 to 8 teams that feel like they got snubbed.
Yeah.
And a lot of those teams end up being the group of five teams that finish second in their conference, or they win their regular season and they lose in their tournament.
Yeah.
And they've got like 25 wins. But
I was going to say, somebody that goes 25-3 and loses 2 games to Dayton, who gets the automatic bid, right, and then they're out. You know, and that's, with the March Madness coming.
That's what the NIT's for.
With March Madness coming, we talk about bowl season in football and how fun it is. That first round of March Madness is great.
Yeah.
I mean,
when was the last time like it was really good to be a Hogs fan? Like when they took it
every day.
Every day?
Tyler, it's great to be a Hogs fan.
I've never heard that before. what do you think, Greg?
Why all the frowns in the room?
They have a saying that kind of makes me want to regurgitate when I hear it, but there's a saying called it's a great day to be a Mountaineer wherever you may be.
Yeah.
And it's never a great day to be a Mountaineer.
Yeah.
I guess what I'm asking is, when's the last time they took it really far?
Well, it was they went to the
Elite Eight. Like,
was it Elite Eight? They went to the Elite Eight and lost in the Elite Eight 2 years ago.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. I remember that.
I think
that.
They done that 2 years in a row.
Yeah. They ever won the big one?
Like Final Four. Yeah. Final Four for us was 95 was the last.
Anybody know what USC's doing? Isn't that where Muss went?
Yeah.
I haven't heard anything about them.
Nah.
That's
because they're
playing late night games on the West Coast.
They're in the Big Ten.
I know.
Yeah. Well, if anybody got anything else, I suppose that does that wrap it up?
Well, unless somebody wants to talk about spring training, but hey, it started now, so pro baseball, here we go.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be
right in.
Yeah.
Pirates are 2-0. They're trying to get me to buy that extra innings.
And you'll buy it, and they'll go defeated for the rest of the year.
That's exactly right. By the way, UCA Trojans men's basketball, 14th place in the Big Ten.
Yeah. So, does it tell you the record?
I'm getting to that. They are 14-13, 6-10 in the league.
Yeah, he won't be there long. Unless he does something a lot better next year. And the thing about it is, you know, that we were talking about this earlier.
Man, I tell you what, the grass isn't always greener on the other side.
No. That you know, there was a conference out there, the Pac-10, who was a major player all the time I was growing up, and for years. They just disintegrated.
Hmm.
And basically what disintegrated them was TV.
Yeah.
Because they play at night, everybody's already asleep, so they don't even know what they're doing.
You know what I didn't like about the Pac-10? The Big Ten expanded to 12 teams and changed their name to the Big 12. Pac-10 expanded to 12 teams, and they can't even do math. They stayed the Pac-10.
Well, the Big 10's the same way.
Yeah, but, I mean, it took them a while to explain. It took them a while to say, hey, we want somebody else in here to run the ball 3 plays in a row.
Yeah. You're right.
This could go on forever.
You're right.
So it's the Big 10, and then in parentheses it's actually 12?
It's 18.
It's 18.
Yeah, now it's 18.
Okay. As if this couldn't get more confusing to me. I don't follow any of this.
At some point, Tyler, you're just going to have to give us, though, we're done, let's get off of here.
Especially college football. How am I? I would have had to get into it when I was 8 to understand.
I'm glad we're out of it, but the most genius conference name in college football history is Conference USA. Because as long as you don't go out of the country, you're covered.
Are they the others or something? Like, who are not? Like, who's Conference USA?
They're a group of five, a small group of five conference.
It's got 35 teams in it.
It does.
But, you know, just to add to confusion, you know, everybody used to try to stay within a certain proximity.
Yeah.
And then
the Sun Belt's really the only conference that's doing that.
And then the Big 12 takes West Virginia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And puts them out here with Texas and Oklahoma.
Yeah.
And, you know, now Oregon is in the Big 10.
I'm confused by that. Yeah.
I mean –
Yeah, no idea.
I don't know.
Yeah,
that, it's one money. Good thing it's that may money. Come out of all this conference realignment stuff when the SEC and Big Ten do what they're going to do is maybe they'll go back to conferences that make geographic sense.
Mm. Yeah,
you know, there's no incentive to not.
No, no.
It's like gerrymandering, like carving out a large chunk. It's like, that's not, Omaha's not the West Coast. Like sometimes, I'm not saying that that's it, but sometimes you look at it, it's like, really?
Yeah.
Montana?
SMU's in the Atlantic Coast Conference.
Yeah. Okay. Where would you think the Sun Belt Conference was?
I mean,
Florida.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know, yeah, down Alabama. Yeah, yeah.
Well, it goes all the way up to New York.
Nice.
Or yeah. Maybe not that far.
Marshall's probably the most northern team.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, there's a lot of northern teams in the Sun Belt.
Sure.
You know, so it's like, it just, the names don't make any sense. They made sense when they did them. Mm-hmm. And then they've just, because of this grabbing, and it's a money grab, is what it is. You know, I mean, or at least to a large extent, I think they probably, the names don't make sense anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
But they just keep them, like the Big Ten.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy when you got 18 teams. Yeah, we're the Big Ten. How many teams you got? 18. I don't understand it. But, but anyway, we could sit here and go on about that for years. Yeah. Go ahead.
Before we wrap up, I just want to say I'm excited about episode 30, and I would like to encourage any listeners that think they know who my Razorback number 30 next week's going to be, to post in the comments anywhere this is shared on Facebook.
Or Greg can spoil it right now.
He can. No. I mean, he probably could spoil it.
I'm not going to do it.
Yeah. He knows who it is, though.
And we gotta start bringing in the other episode numbers in. Like, I believe this is going to be episode number, like, 76 or something overall.
Yeah.
Who's the best 76?
Next season.
That could be a hockey player. You can throw hockey in this.
I'm going to say it's an NFL defensive lineman. But but that's our plan next season.
Nice.
Is to start with one where we left off.
For instance,
if we leave off with 45, next season we'll start off with 46.
Good plan.
So I think that's a good plan.
Yep. It's a good one.
For today,
yep.
I think we're done.
Let's do it.
All right. We just want to take a minute to tell all the sponsors. We appreciate them. We appreciate everybody listening every week, and we appreciate Tyler for what he does for us. He makes us sound like human beings.
You guys had a fun time last episode. I was out on. I was
for
like,
the record,
I just have fun. When
a guy who's been into Queen comes up number one on 76. Steve McMichael.
Oh, okay. Really?
Wow. Yeah. Nice. Keith McKinney has met Steve McMichael here in DeQueen.
Funny, a pro wrestler.
He's been here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I knew he'd been here.
I'm sure he tells that story a lot.
No. Yeah. He was a lineman for the Bears.
He wrestled at one time. I mean, I know who he was. Yeah. I'm just, you know, I know lots of useless things, Tony.
Yeah.
And Steve McMichael was a professional wrestler at one time.
Nice.
All right.
Yeah.
There's another useless tidbit all you listeners.
Episode 30 next week.
Yeah, you're gonna have
let's
cram that in your head so something falls out the other side.
Yeah, that's right. So anyway, we appreciate everybody. We especially appreciate the kids and for all they do, and we do it for you. We'll see you next week.
See you next week.
See you next week.